It's Stewardship Sunday. We're talking about trees. In the Old Testament, the prophets dreamed of trees where leaves would never wither and fruit would yield in all of its seasons and people would never go hungry again. Daniel has visions. Jesus' favorite image for the kingdom or a new activity of God that creates a home for people here and now, not just later. He gives this picture of a tree. Jesus taught with stories, not with dogmatic outlines or creeds or philosophical prose, but little stories that had huge points to them. He spoke of hidden realities that could be experienced in the here and now. Some people would hear him and get mad. Others would nudge their spouse and say, "You need to hear this." But best of all, some would hear and something would begin to burn in their hearts and a crisis would emerge to step to the right or left, and they would see this as not some preachy, moralizing, pedantic, dull story, but something of the very reign or home of God, a door opening by which a person could step into it and experience joy and peace and love beyond their imagination. Jesus tells this story about a little teeny seed, so small that if you took 30,000 of them and put them in a container, it would be about an ounce. The smallest known seed in Jesus' time, a mustard plant seed. So you wonder, what good is mustard in days when there were not hot dogs and Indians games? It's a good question. Mustard seeds weren't good for much of anything. Mustard was known as a minor medicinal valued plant, but most of all, it was invasive and fast growing. So when Jesus tells the story, don't think so much as ballpark mustard. Think of crabgrass or dandelions or Pachysandra ivy. This is a subversive parable landing right in the middle of all these parables that Jesus gives that just simply says this. There will come a day when the ragtag and the weary and the banged up and the sinful and broken will gather together in the branch of God's great home, and there will be this wild spread so that there is room for all. Watch out, Jesus seems to be saying. The kingdom is invasive, it's dangerous, it will take you over if you are not careful. This parable is a warning label, unexpected, unnerving, world-changing, anxiety-producing grace is on its way, and even yet here for those who have ears to hear. And filled with the overflowing with courage and joy about our mysteriously gracious and shockingly compassionate God, little is great where God is at work. Small is enough where Christ dwells. Pocket size seems jumbo where the Spirit is at work. And it takes special eyes and a heart to see the beginning of this. So most of you know this already and have learned this lesson that small things really do matter. Like life is a series of small breaths. A marathon is a series of little steps. A poem is a sequence of frail words. A symphony is a chain of little teeny notes, all strung together. So this is the way the parable begins. A little teeny ache to be different. Just a small germ of desire to be holy, whatever that means. Maybe some acuity to be clean. Maybe a longing to see the world a little more compassionate and tender. Maybe a teacher who writes a little note to a student or kind words of encouragement to someone who's weary in the midst of a coronavirus, or maybe like the gathered tithes of a people on Stewardship Sunday when we think, what good can this really do? And yet together it becomes something that grows into a bush, then later a tree, and then the birds of the air come make their nest in it. William Wilberforce was one of the early Methodists who was converted by the speaking of God's grace by a man named John Wesley. He said that he was on vacation one day, staring out at the ocean by himself, when he pictured in his heart and mind slave ships moving from Africa to America by English ships. He said there was this germ, a small idea that this must end. An idea was sown in the mind of one person, a little teeny germ that changed the trajectory of millions of people. Here in our church, there was a guy who got an idea that said, wouldn't it be neat if kids could get Christmas presents while their parents are incarcerated? Just a germ, just a beginning, and since then, thousands of kids have been blessed at Christmas time with a note that said their mom and dad had not forgotten them. Dell and Jeanette had a dream that someday our church would get a functional bus, or even a dysfunctional bus, and we would go to the Near West Side and feed hundreds and hundreds of people a week and tens of thousands a year. And people thought they were nuts. Did they? I just was checking to see if anybody was nodding their head yes, so I could tell them that you thought they were crazy. A woman prayed for 20 years, she said, almost every day, that one day she could be a part of a meaningful ministry that cared for the thousands of kids in our foster system who are orphaned by their mom and dad through abuse or neglect. And today she runs a small army of humans from our church that bless, camp, mentor, and adopt these amazing kids. A handful of people who wanted parents to date whose kids have special needs. And so was born a ministry called Recharge in our church. But it was just a little germ, a little beginning, a little nudge that started. And now it flourished into a place where 30 kids, so known and loved by these leaders that they can identify the $20 toys that they play with. And so those of us who used to play with these kids before a pandemic can buy some Barbie dolls and some balls, and some things to drop off at their home and say, we have not forgotten about you. You have no idea. We have no idea what God does with little teeny mustard seeds. And the passage of time, the plant grows taller, wider, deeper, broader, and the work of God goes on and on. You are this tree of life to this community, and not only this community, but to places like Nehemiah Mission and Camp for Mission in Liberia and all around the world. Jesus employs a deliberate irony that mixes images and metaphors of a nasty little mustard seed that takes over someone's garden that becomes the dream of a tree where birds come and find their nest in it. Sycamore, willow, ash, that's you. It's really you. Some most beautiful in the fall when they're dying. Some craziest when the wind is blowing like this afternoon. Some looking most holy when the snow falls. And yet in the spring, most sublime and transcendent and awe-inspiring mystery there is in you who have gathered here this day, and those who have gathered online, and those who are part of the great mystery of what we call the universal and Catholic, or the expanding church of mystery, birds that come to feed in you. What a funny image. Birds are a little skittish, aren't they? A few weeks ago, one of my granddaughters who fills the bird feeder every time she comes over was trying to get the birds to come to her. And she was chasing them around the yard and was really angry at the birds, wondering why they wouldn't just eat out of her hand. I told her she's a little wild for birds. You have to be quieter. You have to be asleep. You have to be almost dead for a bird to come near you. Or maybe just so gentle and luring that maybe you could get one in your hand. Sometimes I think churches can be these great branches, but we can scare birds away really easy with dumb and ridiculous and insensitive things. When we take political positions that Jesus never dreamt we would take or say. When we say things to people who come on Christmas Eve or Easter, like, nice of you to show up, or gosh, maybe the roof's gonna fall, it just seems like we're treating God's birds as if we're chasing them away from the branches rather than luring them in. When we use weird theological terms like narthex and transept and chancel and some of our hymnody where people think, what in the world are they talking about? Sometimes I think birds try to come here and nest, and we shock them and scare them and chase them, sometimes just with weird old pastors who speak foreign languages and pick wrong battles rather than coaxing and love these skittish and scared birds who have good reason to think that sometimes churches aren't the safest homes for birds. I wonder what it could be like if we could see this tree the way Jesus sees it. A home where people's story begins, where they think, I could take my shoes off. I could come like I am. I could take the mask of pretense off and there would be grace for me. With you, so many of you, I have found a home here. There's nothing more important than a good and safe and secure home. Dorothy was right, was she not? There is no place where people make room or pad a seat, at least outside of COVID days, and say, you're welcome here. I think back to years of Stewardship Sunday where people took hands and touched each other on their way up to offering their lives to Christ in ways that were tender and gentle. Home is where one starts from and where one looks for the rest of their lives to go back to. And Christ imagined this place to be home, even for the most frightened of birds who might find that there's room and safety to nest here, a place where resources can be pooled, a place where hearts can be healed, a place where we can work out our junk and not be perfect, but just who we are. And there might just be grace to call to the cross a death of self to our own preference around music styles and hymns and what we think we like, so that other birds of younger and more diverse places might come make their nest in us. We are the only institution that was born for people outside of ourselves. It's not a country club. It was to be a hospital for broken-winged birds to find, to heal, to get rest. Some of you remember Paul Harvey. He was an old news person who used to push Bose speakers at halftime. He told a story I wouldn't forget for many years about a gaslight district in St. Louis. It was an exclusive area that was built for people with means, beautiful lights in the evening and significant cobblestone streets where people could gather. But an interesting thing happened near the downtown is that kids with skateboards and tattoos and piercings and torn jeans started to go there just to hang out under the gaslights. And this community got nervous and scared and thought, how do we get rid of kids? And they came up with this amazing plan so that there wasn't any kind of news spiff about it. So they pumped through Bose speakers, not just classical music, but bad classical music. And they pumped through the speakers, not just 1930s and 40s music, but bad 1930s and 40s music. And without a fight and without a publicity stir, guess what? They got rid of the kids. And people wonder sometimes in the church, where are the kids? And Jesus dreamt of a people that would release their preference so that the movement of Christ could gather the birds of the air. And one day the nations would come to it. Truly, truly, you are to be the great tree of God. And one day again, beyond a pandemic, the songs will be sung. And the church will worship, and love will win, and Christ will rule. Pride will melt, sins will be burned away, and eternal love will find its secret in your heart. And then you will be perfect, for you shall one day see him like he is. And when you see him in this way, you shall be like him, says Scripture. For God's favorite place is in the human heart. And this mustard seed will not be stopped. Warning, it says, you are prepared for a kingdom no bigger than the eye of a newt that grows into the great banyan where the birds will come one day and sing Mozart and Steely Dan and maybe rap music. You have within your hand a tiny yet powerful kit for adapting to the unimaginable, to see and experience God's grace blow again through this place in ways that we can yet to imagine. I have in my own life a mustard seed. I shall not be afraid to use it. Not much faith is required, just a little germ, and God will do the rest. Invasively, unstoppably, and irrepressibly. I'll close with this quick story, and we're way ahead of time, so you don't even have to go to your watch today. David Kidd, some of you might know that name, a Canton resident, served our country in the Vietnam War in 1988, the first time after he had returned from the war and healed from physical wounds. He went out west and marveled at the great trees of our national parks. He came home a year later, and a germ of an idea hit him before he went to bed. What if I could plant some more trees in my own county or in my own state? He started with 13 Rotary clubs, 134 schools, 64 local businesses, and over 5,000 scouting troops. He said this was his motto, think globally, act locally with one seed at a time. And believe it or not, from one man, from this germ of an idea, flowed almost 4 million trees in about 10 years. And still he plants on and is graying in old age. Think of this. A man stumbles out of a tomb on an Easter morning, and all of his friends had scattered and gone, and this would be the great beginning of the movement of hope and resurrection. Paul, with a handful of people, lit up the Roman Empire like a Kansas wheat fire. And John Wesley one time said as he began the Methodist movement, if I could only have 10 people who loved nothing but God and hated nothing than what hurt people that matter to God, I will give England back to God. And he did it. He really, honestly did it. He gathered a fruit-bearing, green, upward-sprouting, invasive, budding, reaching, maturing, flourishing people who spread like a mustard plant or a pack of sandra weed. And so on this day, I take this little teeny thing and think, oh God, I wished it were more. I wished it were more, but it's what I have. And I take that mustard seed and I throw it in with a few other seeds that have already begun to gather. And I invite my brothers and sisters to come forward and to do the same as we plant a tree of hope whereby the birds of the air that would shock us one day will gather. I want to encourage you to stay spaced apart. Take your time. It'll take a little bit for Carl to play a few minutes of music so you don't have to clump and cluster. And if you're really not comfortable coming up now, you could do it after the service is over as you exit. So whatever makes sense to you, whenever feels safe to you. We have two people from stewardship that will hand you a little bookmark which has a symbol of a tree of life that will remind you that we start little as mustard seeds and we end miraculous in a place where the birds of the air gather. If you don't have a card, or you already gave it, because I guess we had 135 that came in early, which is amazing to me, just come up anyhow, center aisle, and receive a bookmark, whether you give a card or not, and then have a seat or after the service is fine. Thanks, Carl, for leading us.